Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
It's been over a year since we dialed up the flames for a Hall of Flame induction. So we're heading into a Hall of Flame Friday, and we're asking you to choose our latest inductee into the After Hours Hall of Flame. Yeah, I can't believe it's been over a year. You know what else? It's been over a year since we've had our last Chubby Bunny World Championship, but we are planning on that next week. So that is something we're still securing the date, but we know that it should take place next week. We just have to make sure that all of the peeps that we need will be in the building at the same time. And it is a challenge because of the hours of our show, but we think we've got a formula and a plan in place next week. So we will let you know for sure to start the week. And I think it'll be live here on the show, but also recorded for our YouTube channel. Because who doesn't want to watch people nearly choke to death on mouths stuffed full of marshmallows? I do not do well because I have an active gag reflex, but also because I'm trying to MC at the same time. So maybe it behooves me to get an MC for this Chubby Bunny World Championship so that I don't bow out quite so early, or I should say spit the marshmallows out quite so early.
He's out.
Also, I can't help but laugh. That's another part of the equation. I just have a major problem with keeping my emotions in check during Chubby Bunny World Championships. I think the most I've ever done has been 5 marshmallows. Every single time I get to that point, I lose my marshmallows, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of marshmallows, it's an easy transition from that to squishmallows. Do you guys know what those are? Anybody who has kids knows what a squishmallow is. Probably a lot of adults know what they are too. They are squishy and fun to hug, and they're I guess a child's toy theoretically, but because I love stuffed animals and I don't have all the ones from when I was a kid. I've given them away to either various charitable organizations that have clothing for families in need, or I've given a few away to Children's Hospital Wing. This goes back to when I lived in Oklahoma, but I do love stuffed animals, and I also enjoy getting them as gifts. So sometimes I give them as gifts, and with both my nieces having birthdays around mine and the family getting together, who even knows what I was thinking, but one morning I got home from work and I was on Amazon and ended up buying 5 squishmallows and giving them to various members of the family for birthdays because we had a bunch of April birthdays. So there's one that looks like a blue merle Australian shepherd. If you don't know what it is, it's really pretty gray and white markings. And we have one of those. My mom has 2, a blue merle as well as a tri-colored Australian shepherd. And so I actually found a blue merle squishmallow and then a pig squishmallow. And then there was a giant sloth. Now, I didn't realize it was a giant sloth. I thought it was just a medium-sized sloth. I got it for my older niece because she loves sloths. It's her favorite animal. And as it turned out, she had actually received the same sloth, squishmallow, from her boyfriend. So I have to find someone else to give it to. Don't tell my college roommate, but I think that's going to be her birthday gift coming up later this month, because we all need to hug a Squishmallow now and then. And if you can hug a sloth squishy, well, it's even better. Do you want to know which one I kept for myself? Maybe at some point I'll give it away, but right now it's too cute to give it away. It goes along with my favorite Christmas song. It's a pink, squishy, adorable hippopotamus. A hippo Squishmallow. See what I mean?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I actually bought it after Christmas, and I bought it for myself, so I didn't have to worry about anybody else giving me one. But yes, I originally intended to give it to a friend as a gift, but now that I have it, I can't. I can't. He's too squishy and he's too cute, and I have decided to, for now, keep him for myself. Squishmallows. If you don't know what they are, just trust me. You need to check them out.
Have you seen the Chewbacca Squishmallow?
I have not seen the Chewbacca Squishmallow. It's probably a good thing I did not, because don't. I probably would have purchased a Chewbacca Squishmallow.
It's adorable, I will say.
I can imagine.
It's amazing. Don't look at it, because you're going to buy like five of them.
So far, I've purchased a pig, a mini pig, which is going to be my mother's Mother's Day present. I purchased the Australian Shepherd, which I gave to my mom's husband for his birthday. He really loved it. Apparently, he took it out of the box, and one of the dogs grabbed it and started running away with it.
It's not good.
No. So he had to chase after one of the dogs and get the dog Squishmallow back. I kept the hippo, and now I'm going to give the sloth to my college roommate because I think she'll really appreciate him. Yeah. Just beware. If you go down the Squishmallow rabbit hole, you may not come out. Jay's looking at them right now. Aren't they adorable?
They really are.
But forget what they look like. Hugging them is therapeutic. They are squishy and they make you happy. I'm telling you, just hugging my hippopotamus Squishmallow makes me happy and makes me feel secure. Pick an animal. Pick any animal and Google that animal with the term Squishmallow.
Wow, I see a shark.
Yeah, there's some cuter than others. They have foods. I've even seen a cupcake Squishmallow. But the animals are my favorites.
Yeah, this is Nash the Broccoli. That's his name.
Well,
yeah.
You probably do need to, if you're not going to eat broccoli, get a Squishmallow broccoli so you can feel like you're healthier.
He looks yellow, though.
No, really? Anyway, Squishmallows are the best, and they're extremely popular. I only have one that I'm keeping for myself, but I do have some friends whose children have dozens. I think that they can be gigantic, but they can also be really small. They're collector's items now, if you must know.
Like Beanie Babies.
Right, or like Cabbage Patch Kids, even going back to when I was a kid. So yes, don't ask. Oh, I know how. We were talking about Chubby Bunny and Marshmallows. So on my spaghetti plate brain, it naturally led me to Squishmallows.
Wow, I just saw a narwhal. That's a good one.
A what?
A narwhal? Narwhal? However you want to say it. The whales with the horns that are actually a tooth live in the Arctic.
Oh. I don't think I know what that is.
It's a whale, and they have
like a unicorn. So actually an animal that I've never heard of before? Wait, tell me, how do you spell it?
N-A-R whale.
A narwhal?
Yeah. I think it's narwhal, but...
Huh. Here's what happens when you Google it. Do narwhals still exist?
They definitely do.
How do you know? Have you seen one?
No, not live.
Okay. So how do you know they still exist?
Because there's footage of them in the Arctic Circle.
Huh. All right. Lives year-round in the Arctic waters around Greenland, Canada, and Russia. 2,100 pounds. Oh my gosh, they weigh over a ton, the adults.
Big as a whale.
And there's a Squishmallow narwhal?
Yes, it's adorable.
All right. See what I mean about Squishmallows? You can't help it. Once you start looking at them, you're going to find one that fits your personality. There's even a Godzilla Squishmallow. You can even make Godzilla look cute. Jay is currently Googling Squishmallows. This is what happens when I plant a new idea in Jay's head.
The Godzilla one is good.
Yeah, it's super cute, isn't it?
But it is.
I'm telling you, there are actually some that are like gigantic. They're called Big Mouth Squishmallows, and they're life size.
So this Godzilla one is 8 inches, and I see one that are some that are 5 inches. A life size one? That's a lot.
Yeah, it's. I see a picture of one where it's standing next, like a person is standing next to it. It's bigger than the person. Yeah, no, they're awesome. Like I say, there are foods like fruits, vegetables. There are fantasy type animals, so animals that are not actually real animals, but that come from figments of your imagination. There are Pokemons. Yeah, there are all kinds of things. They're really popular. There's an avocado if you would like to get an avocado squishmallow. There's barn animals. There's dogs. There's cats. It's amazing. He's not going to pay attention the rest of the show because he's busy Googling squishmallows.
Avery the Mallard.
Yep. I know there's many. I'm telling you, this is what I did one morning. I got home from work and I had either had heard something about it or had seen a photo on Facebook with someone else's squishmallows, and I thought this will be great for gifts, and I went hog wild and I bought like 5 of them, but I kept one, and then the other one my niece already had, so I gave 3 away, or my mom's Mother's Day present will be the 3rd, but I still have. I can't part with the hippo.
No,
it's too cute.
Do you feel like you need
did
more?
Did you Google the hippo squishmallow?
Let me check out the
wait
hippo.
Did you say do I feel like I need more?
Yeah,
need more squishmallows.
Mm-hmm.
I would say need would probably not be the right verb for squishmallows. I don't need them.
Which hippo do you have? Pink, blue?
Pink.
Nice. I see him. Hannah the hippo, it says.
You called him a him. She is a girl, and her name is Hannah the hippo.
Hannah the hippo.
Hannah the hippo squishmallow. But again, as I'm trying to convince you, as cute as they are on a computer screen, they are much more adorable in person when you can squeeze them.
Do you remember Fiona the hippo with the watermelon?
Of course, Cincinnati Zoo.
They have Fiona the hippo as a squishmallow.
Oh my goodness. That I didn't know. Yeah, they're not cheap. You have to make sure you're looking at price tags. Depending upon the vendor, at least on Amazon, you have to know that you're not getting taken for a ride. But yeah, they're all the rage these days. So yeah, that has nothing to do with Chubby Bunny, but I went from marshmallows to squishmallows. And it was a major theme in my March when I was buying birthday gifts for April family members.
These are dangerous.
What are dangerous?
These squishmallows.
They're not dangerous.
Just like in terms of you look at one, I like that one. And then you keep looking at them. Then you buy one. And then what's the difference if I get 2 and then 3? I mean,
is that what you're going to spend your discretionary income on?
I don't know.
Maybe you should think about it. Fiona the hippo squishmallow.
Just line my bed with squishmallows.
I don't think you'd be the first person. You might be the first 30-year-old to do it.
Maybe.
But
probably not.
You wouldn't be the first human on the planet to buy a bunch of squishmallows. I now have one on my bed along with my stuffed puppy.
Sounds nice. Sounds lovely.
Lovely. Hannah the hippo is a lovely squishmallow. And on that note, I can't be the only one. There've got to be people out there who know exactly what I'm talking about and who spent some of your discretionary income on squishmallows. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. You can find, it's not a poll that has to do with squishmallows, I promise. And I haven't tweeted anything about squishmallows either. But we do have our poll up for the latest After Hours Hall of Flame induction. You know what? I feel like we should redo the audio, should we? Let's go through it again because it's been over a year since we've done a Hall of Flame induction. And right now we're asking you to vote, but I'm not sure if you know what you're voting for if you weren't tuned in an hour ago. So let's do it really quickly again. Let's start with Draymond Green, who uses his podcast to clap back at Dylan Brooks, who apparently was talking trash about Dre. This goes back to before the playoffs.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there. He said, I don't like Draymond at all. You don't know me. Draymond talks a lot. You talk a lot now. So if you have 4 rings, sure, you talk a lot more. For All-Stars, you probably talk a bit more. Defensive Player of the Year, you for damn sure would talk more. 2 Olympic gold medals. You definitely would be talking because that would mean you beat Team USA. And we all know how that goes. So gets away with a lot, too. What exactly do I get away with? I have 15 texts, 1 less than your dumb ass. Next time you speak up on me, I hope you're in a better situation than you in now, where the guys you play with actually enjoy playing with you because they actually think you're contributing to winning. Because it ain't happening right now, champ. Ah, you're not a champ. You're a clown.
Oh my gosh. I do think Draymond is really good for the NBA, but boy, sometimes I wonder why. Why does he need... This is what makes the man happy on his podcast.
That was whack to me.
Jason Tatum was far more succinct after winning the NBA All-Star Game MVP for his 55 points. I mean, it'll be top next year by 65 probably. But he enjoys his time in Salt Lake City at the All-Star festivities, but then doesn't find his rhythm in the first game after the All-Star break.
It was either I left all my shooting in Utah or still drunk from vacation. That's how I played the night.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he's open and honest about it. Aaron Rodgers, well, he's a little bit of the Draymond Green of the NFL, let's be fair. It's amazing how much his tune has changed in 6 weeks. But when he came out of his darkness retreat, he took aim at everyone who was spreading malicious and false rumors about him while he was under cover of night.
I didn't say I'm going to my darkness retreat just to figure out if I want to play next year or retire, right? So then that narrative got out there. So how many f***ing narratives can come from one show where they didn't even actually listen to what I said or the intent or the tone? And again, nothing against Rappaport, but he doesn't have anybody who knows legitimately what's going on in my life.
Anybody.
So don't make shit up, okay? Like, I don't have your number. You're not going to have my number. You do a great job, but not when it comes to my life, so stop talking about me.
Just for reference, this was also the interview on McAfee in which he told us, I don't know, a dozen times that he was fine. He was totally fine. Everything's going
fine.
To be fine.
It really is. It's totally fine.
It's definitely fine.
It's totally fine.
Man, what a difference 6 weeks makes. What a difference that 6 week time period has made.
I think I'll be able to throw pretty good to him, about 60 or 70.
Yeah, Draymond Green, Aaron Rodgers, they might be brothers from another mother. The fact that they sound so similar when people come after them, or they feel like people are coming after them. Who's funnier, Draymond Green or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Draymond.
Yeah, easily. That's true. Yeah. I agree with you. Dre is way funnier. All right, so those are your first three candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame. And then finally, not to be outdone, you want to talk about Travis Kelce? You want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs? You're really prepared to hear him take aim at you.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Oh.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
I'm remembering now how we had an entire discussion about jabroni here on the show because I had never heard the word before.
Mayor Jabroni.
He only dropped it every chance he had between his podcast and post-game interviews and then the ticker tape parade in Kansas City.
Who the fuck is that guy?
We do love our Travis Kelce drops. All of these guys are worthy candidates of the Hall of Fame. So who will you choose? You can find the poll on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, our show Twitter too. Just look for the poll, weigh in. If we don't get enough votes between now and the end of the show, because I know it's been a while, it's been a year, we have to reintroduce the Hall of Flame. If we don't get enough votes, we'll leave it open through the rest of the day, and then we'll unveil the winner coming up next week. But for now, we want to keep playing them because, yeah, I almost feel like even if you were trained like Pavlov's dog, you don't remember anymore. So this is one of my favorite features we've ever done, and we used to do it. We're going to do it again on a much more regular basis. But, yeah, I've missed it. I've missed it so badly. So whether you vote on Twitter or Facebook, we just need y'all votes. Let's see. Coming up, what do I want to do coming up? We heard about – well, we heard Lamar Jackson give his thoughts about the process with the Ravens and the negotiations that took place and how he desperately wanted to stay in Baltimore and how he knew that negotiating for himself would require him to be a man and put emotions aside and look at his business. Now, I don't know whether or not I believe that he did that the entire time. It certainly seemed like he was emotional, and there were times when his feelings got the best of him. But what about the Ravens' perspective? Eric DaCosta on Eric DaCosta on the negotiations, as well as John Harbaugh. And actually, Lamar is the last piece they put in place, or one of the last pieces they put in place. They were busy before Lamar. Good to have you with us. If you're waking up on your Friday, well, hallelujah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He's the right player for this team to lead us to where we want to be. I think the locker room knows that. The organization knows that. I think the fan base knows that. So it's ongoing. But I can't think of a situation where we wouldn't think that our best team is with Lamar Jackson on the team in September.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eric DaCosta, going back to mid-April before the Ravens were able to come to an agreement with Lamar Jackson. Now, a few weeks later, it's all purple and roses again because Lamar got his money and the Ravens don't have to change quarterbacks and there is job security at that position. So the general manager answering questions along with Lamar and John Harbaugh on Thursday as they met the media. The contract is signed, sealed, delivered, so they were able to speak about it. Why use the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar than Eric? This is a question a lot of people have been wondering.
Free agency is a chance for players to go out and kind of see what their value could be potentially. And in the end, that was the decision that we made, hoping that we would be sitting here today. And we had our moments, but over the coming months, we would have a chance to negotiate again and get a long-term deal done, which proved to be the case.
Honestly, it feels like the Ravens wanted to see if there was another team that could set the market for Lamar. And the fact that there were no teams that were willing to set the market for Lamar meant that Lamar would be even more motivated because his two options remaining were A, play on a one-year deal, franchise tag, or and pay on the non-exclusive, which meant that you wouldn't make as much money, and B, sit out. Neither one of those would be optimal. One worse than the other, but really degrees of bad. So yes, a more motivated Lamar because the Ravens dangled him out there and no other teams took a shot. But even if a team had, at the very least, the Ravens would be done with the negotiating, right? They could either match or not. That would be the number. The number would be the number offered by another team, and they could match or not. And so, yes, that was a calculated move by Eric DaCosta and the Ravens. A couple of leaks here and there, too, that I wouldn't be surprised came from the team. But then Lamar's calculation was asking for a trade, if he actually asked for a trade. I don't know what to believe anymore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While they were working it out with Lamar, they were also busy in that Ravens front office figuring out how to add pieces to their offense that would address other issues. Now, remember last year, the Ravens had no receiver, actually wide receiver, so not Mark Andrews, he's a tight end, but wide receiver on their roster who had more than 2 years of experience. That doesn't help. it's not the same moving forward. They've got Odell Beckham Jr. now. He was actually working on recruiting Lamar back to Baltimore. He was serving as a mouthpiece for the Ravens, interestingly enough. Nelson Agholor as well. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Actually, as does Odell, right? So doesn't Agholor have a Super Bowl ring from his time with the Eagles? Yeah. So Odell and Nelson, and they drafted Zay Flowers in the first round. So they've added some weapons. We saw the Eagles do this last year to really help Jalen Hurts elevate his game, and it worked to perfection, nearly to a Super Bowl win. So this is what the Ravens have been doing. Maybe it caused Lamar to think a return was even more attractive.
The expectations are always high. Like Lamar said, you go back to 2018, that's all you think about, is being as good as you can in every single way. And this year is no exception, but, you know, I understand it's kind of ramped up a little bit, you know. But Mike McDonald's sitting back there, it's ramped up for the defense too, right, Mike? And Chris Horton for the special team. So it's a team thing, you know. We're going to go out there and fight and work to be the best team we can be. And now we got a quarterback, you know, locked up. We always knew we would, but now it's official and it's time to get to work.
Everything's purple and roses now. Love it. Speaking of roses, so this is where my spaghetti plate brain goes again. Speaking of roses, maybe I'll share a photo. I was actually out in my backyard on Thursday checking on my rose bush and my lilac bush. So the lilac is a new transplant. It was just planted, oh gosh, last July. So it's not been out there very long. It's still a fledgling. But it's got some roots. They're developed. And now it's got a bunch of new leaves. Not, I don't think it's going to be a bush this year. I think it'll be more like a small tree. But and I don't know if it'll bloom this year, but I'm really happy that it's growing. It's happy in the hole that I dug for it in the corner of my yard. So that's one thing. But the second thing is, when I first move, so I'm about to hit my 3-year anniversary of my house. When I first move in, my family showed up like the cavalry to help me because I was overwhelmed. It was 2020, didn't have much help, and they came to help me clean and unpack. And we were also trying to clean up the backyard because the house had been empty for a while, so the yard had kind of gotten away. The flowers needed to be weeded and the cut back. My mother decided it would be a really good idea, even though the rose, it was more like a vine than a bush. Even though it was blooming and it was growing and it was up the trellis, she thought she would cut the whole thing back. So she did. She chopped it. I remember I looked over and my rose bush was gone. And I did not know what happened. And she thought, oh, well, I was just cutting it back. Yeah, that was 3 years ago. It's finally growing again. Never let my mom with her clippers get anywhere near your flowers because she always thinks that cutting it way back is the best way to facilitate growth. And very often it is. But the rose trellis, the rose bush that grew on the trellis, it was so stunted and shocked by my mother's treatment that it hasn't grown in 3 years. It's just now starting to grow again.
It was afraid.
I mean, my mom hasn't been around much since then, but she left a disaster in her wake. And so last year, it barely grew. It got very spindly. It's what they call very leggy in plant terms. It couldn't get the sunlight behind my hydrangea, which got to be an enormous bush. So it grew on really tall legs to get up to the sunshine. Now, for whatever reason, I cut back the hydrangea, but the hydrangea it's not filling out quite yet. So the rose bush is getting a bunch of rain, it's getting a bunch of sunshine, and it's actually looking like it's going to grow this year. I am holding my breath. I'm a little nervous. It had some kind of a bug last year too, because it just didn't look healthy the whole time. So I'm pleasantly surprised at how it's come out this spring and hoping. Going to feed it a little bit. If anybody has any recommendations about how to feed a rose bush, just let me know. As this was the one big failure among the flowers in the yard when I bought the house. This has been the failure for the last 3 years.
Have you ever used alfalfa to help it grow?
Alfalfa as in what cows eat?
Maybe.
Or horses eat? I do think that there are barn animals that eat alfalfa.
Alfalfa is one of the best overall organic amendments, resulting in more vigorous growth and increased bloom production. Coffee grounds can also be sprinkled.
Coffee grounds? I have coffee grounds. I could do that.
Boost the rose bush's nitrogen.
Huh. I eat alfalfa sprouts. Is it alfalfa sprouts? I don't think I eat them a long time haven't eaten them for a long time. But they are considered to be healthy. And I do believe that they are very common for livestock. I don't have any livestock, so I'm not really sure where I would get alfalfa from. Maybe from the store. I'm going to the grocery store this morning.
Coffee seems to work. Here's another one on it. It says, if you're wondering whether coffee grounds are good for roses, the answer is a resounding yes. They're inexpensive, and you put a ring around your bushes, and they'll create a barrier that will keep pests away and help your rose bush to thrive.
Wait, used coffee grounds or fresh coffee grounds?
That is a good question.
Thank you. Yes, that is a good question. Are these coffee grounds that come from the pot after I've already brewed the coffee, or are these coffee grounds that come directly from the bag, ground coffee?
Let me see.
Jay's still Googling. Just so you know, Jay is busy with alfalfa and coffee grounds right now. Earlier this hour, it was Squishmallows.
Fresh coffee grounds tend to have a better consistency compared to when you do it, it says.
Okay.
I'm learning.
No, I mean, I have fresh coffee grounds, but what if they're flavored? So, for instance, I have maple pecan coffee grounds at home. Do you think I should just get some plain coffee grounds?
I probably would go with the plain ones, but if you already got the other ones, just give them a shot.
I said I'm going to the store this morning. I'll get some cheap coffee grounds. Coffee grounds implies that it's after the coffee's been brewed. Ground coffee is the fresh. So it wouldn't be, I'm not buying coffee grounds. I'm buying ground coffee. Jay's giving me the finger up in the air as in like, wait a minute, I'm reading.
I'm learning all this
right now. Okay, Jay, I'll just go ahead and wait on you.
That's, I don't have
that's
the answers.
Totally fine. It's totally fine. Yeah. Okay. Anyone has any insight on that, you just let me know. Should I sprinkle ground coffee around my rose bush, my rose trellis? That's Jay's suggestion, but it really came from the internet. Be careful what you read on the internet.
Just keep saying coffee grounds. Just coffee grounds.
Okay, but that's, again, that would imply that the coffee's already been brewed.
Then I think we should go with that.
We should?
Yeah.
Okay, we should go with that.
Yeah, this is a team effort here.
Oh.
I'm invested in this now.
You're doing the research. What happens if those coffee grounds don't work? We're going to be back to the drawing board with the alfalfa, I suppose.
We'll go to the alfalfa then. Yeah.
Who's going to be doing all the work with my plants? You coming over to help?
No, I'm just observing here.
You're just a silent partner?
Yeah. I'm doing the research.
You're the brains of the operation?
There we go.
Said no one ever.
Well.
All right. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. No, seriously. Anybody have any insight about growing a rose bush up a trellis? I would be happy to hear it. And also vote for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Holy crap. We've got three candidates that are neck and neck. So we need your votes. It's been over a year since we've done this. Coming up, three stories that made me cringe on Thursday.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives. And so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
It was a cringeworthy Thursday, to be fair.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Giannis into the front court, races ahead, feeds to Middleton, crosses over. Chris feeds out to Allen. Allen's got to get a shot off. He doesn't get it off. The game is over, and so is the season for the number one seed in these NBA playoffs. The Bucks will fall in game one, or in round one, here at Fiserv Forum in overtime, 128-126. The Heat have completed the upset bid here tonight.
There's a ton of disappointment just, you know, when your season ends, no matter how it happens. It's a hard feeling. It's a disappointing feeling. So I believe and trust those guys, and we all got to be better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was Mike Budenholzer's response to the answer to the question of whether or not the season was a failure for the Milwaukee Bucks after they were upset by the Heat in the postseason. And remember, it was only the sixth time a one seed has ever fallen to an eight. And in both games five and six against Miami, Jimmy Butler was otherworldly and the Heat rallied. And there certainly was a lot of criticism of the way Mike handled the late stages of each of those games. If you remember, and you hear it there on Bucks radio, in the last game, they didn't even get a shot off. And he didn't call timeout in these games when he could have. And at least in one instance, acknowledged that he should have used a timeout. So the way that the Bucks finished, oh yeah, it was painful. It was embarrassing and certainly not the right way to follow up on the league's best record. But Mike Budenholzer is out of a job. Three stories that caused me to cringe on Thursday as I woke up and started doing my show prep. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What have you done for me lately? No, my Budenholzer wasn't perfect. But it's not always on the coach. How the Bucks put together the best record in the regular season despite having guys in and out of the lineup, I think he should get credit for that. I think he should get credit for the fact that without Giannis for stretches of time, without Chris Middleton for long stretches of time, he found a way to get the best out of his roster. I know they lost in the first round. He's 2 years removed from leading them to their first NBA title in 50 years. And they became not just relevant again, but they became a power in the Eastern Conference. Here's Damian Lillard's post after it happened. Folks out here firing championship coaches as soon as they don't win the chip. 2 years removed. And the best record in the NBA this season. The Bucks said it was a very difficult decision, but apparently the championship is old news and the upset is what matters most. So that's one story that caught my attention that gave me some dismay. Another comes from the Kentucky Derby. You may have heard, and that's of course coming up this weekend, you may have heard that there were a couple of horses that, actually I think there were four horses that have died, but two of them came from one particular trainer. And even though there's no indication yet of why the horses died, I guess they're looking for a cause. They've even done all kinds of medical tests on the horse and then the horses that share the stable, but they can't figure out why these two horses died. One passed away last Saturday, one on Tuesday. And so this trainer gets suspended. Because they don't, Churchill Downs doesn't know what's happening and if there's foul play or if there's some cause that can be pinpointed that would go back to the trainer. But while they're still trying to analyze and understand these deaths, this trainer who's 36 years old, he's a third generation trainer. He was cleared by investigators and he even said they found no wrongdoing on our part. But not only has he lost two horses, now he's lost his ability to train at Churchill Downs, and another one of his horses has been scratched from the Kentucky Derby. Gosh. All of me hopes and prays they figure out the cause. And it could be an illness. It could be the fact that it was spreading throughout a stable. One horse got sick and somehow passed it along. It just, there's no indication that that was the case. Lord Miles came from Florida. He's the one that was supposed to run in the Derby. The other horses, they were in Lexington, Kentucky, so not kept in the same place. But I feel for this trainer. These are the first deaths that he's ever had with horses, and he says he's obviously heartbroken, and really right now there are no answers. So that, to me, puts a major damper on the Derby and casts a shadow over what is an iconic American sporting event. It's not the first time, though, that it's happened. Recent years, there have been various tracks where a bunch of horses have died, and that breaks my heart, too. You may remember at Santa Anita in California, the whole horse racing industry was just rocked a few years ago when dozens of horses died. So this is definitely a red flag for the Derby and for Churchill Downs, even as they get ready to race this coming Saturday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more story. And honestly, I think we're going to see and read more and more of this because betting is so prominent now in sports. The latest name, the latest firing to revolve around betting allegations, Alabama's baseball coach Brad Bohannon. He was fired yesterday because there's this big investigation into suspicious betting activity on one of the Tide's actual games. So going back to, this is a SEC conference game, Tide against LSU, and there is surveillance video at this particular sports book that is showing that this person who's placing bets was actually communicating with the coach the entire time. Why this coach actually thought he could get away with it blows me away. I just don't understand how athletes and coaches think that they're going to be able to get away with this. Not only because of surveillance and technology, you always leave a trace. You always leave a trail with your phones and with technology. And so there was this sports book and this suspicious activity that flagged a couple of bets that they felt like were out of the ordinary. And so they start going down this rabbit hole. They even had a pitcher that was scratched. And so there's conversation about whether or not that had something to do with it. But again, we're going to hear more and more of this because gambling is legal in more and more places now. And sports is a microcosm of real life, which means there are athletes and coaches and industry execs who won't be able to stay away. It's going to become more and more common. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.